and Newtown, Connecticut, and that's a horrible thing. How in the world is someone going to an elementary school and kill all, it's bad enough to kill adults, but young children, they kids range from age from 5 to 9 years old. Amen. So we know that's a hardship. I think it's 20 kids as well as like 6 or 7 adults. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, Father God, we take nothing for granted. Lord, we thank you for how you protect and keep us, how you keep our young people, our children, oh God, as well as keeping us. Now, Lord, in this time of need, we lift up the families, oh God, that were victims of that tragedy in Newtown, Connecticut, oh God. Lord, we pray for them now, for they need comfort and they need strength. Lord, we take nothing for granted, for there are many of us by the grace of God. And Lord, we pray that you comfort them, Lord, strengthen them. Lord, we can't understand why it happened, but Lord, we trust and believe that if everything is according to thy will, Lord, you're going to work it out. And Lord, just bless them, keep them. Lord, every time those of us that have children get frustrated and think to complain, Lord, help us to be grateful and to be mindful of those. Time of children may be dismissed. We're going to ask you to stand for our scripture reading. Amen. Just for the sake of time, because we have a lot of scriptures that we want to cover, I'm going to just read from Hebrews chapter 6. Amen. Hebrews chapter 6, I thought I'd give you that one. But you know, I'm all messed up anyway. So. But actually, I was preparing. I have 2 messages, but I'm only going to use 1. Because I don't want you all to see here all night. But actually, I was preparing 1 message, and, you know, the Lord kept dealing with me with the point of how we need to elaborate and bring out more of what we went over on Sunday. Amen. So that's what we're going to do. But we're going to read just actually 1 verse of Scripture, and that being verse 1. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Somebody says it's about time for what?
A miracle.
Amen. Let's read. Therefore, leaving the principle of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the reading of your word. Father God, on this evening, we ask you to give us an ear to hear what the Spirit of God will say unto the church. Lord, we take nothing for granted in these last and evil days. Father God, our hearts desire, and Lord God, is that you might speak. For you know every need of thy people. Now, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus, our desire is speak. Most of all, Lord, give us a mind to be led by thy Spirit. And all these blessings and favors we're going to claim, can we all say in Jesus' name? Amen. You may be seated. Amen. As I stated, you know, on how many, I don't want to put anybody on the spot, how many remember our message on Sunday? All right, okay, Sister Sharon. You can yell it out. I repeat what he said.
It was, watch out, it's a setup.
Amen. Watch out, it's a setup. Amen. Watch out, it's a setup. And we're going to deal with some of the pivotal scriptures around the setup. But salvation, the whole plan of salvation, starts out right here with the foundation, which is repentance and faith towards God. You can't get saved if you don't first repent. Amen? Minister, you might have to give me something written now. Okay. You cannot be saved if you don't first repent. So Paul said, let us leave the principles of the doctrine and let us go on to spiritual maturity. He said, we're saved. Those of us that are saved and know the Lord, we should not have to lay again the foundation of repentance. Amen? So what we're going to deal with tonight is actually the foundation of true repentance. Amen. The question that we're going to deal with tonight is, can you have partial repentance? Amen. And be saved. Can we have partial repentance? In heaven, partial repentance, can we tell part of the truth and repent? Amen? Can we tell part of the truth and repent? So let us go now, as I said, a lot of scriptures, so we'll go through it quickly. I'm going to just quote something in Psalms 11, verse 3. The foundation of salvation. The foundation of the church is the most important element we have, because the Bible says all of our salvation is built upon the cornerstone. Yes. And that cornerstone is who?
Jesus.
He's the cornerstone. So that is the foundation. But from that foundation is all the building that's fitly joined together. Amen. And, you know, just to let us know, everybody can have a purpose, because it said, with every joint, supply. Amen. But we want to deal with the foundation. You cannot be saved with partial repentance. Amen. Repentance must be full. Psalms 11:3 says, if the foundation be destroyed, what shall, or what will the righteous do? The foundation starts with the first principle of salvation is what? Repentance and faith towards God. Not faith towards the minister, the elder, the pastor, the church. Our faith has to be to God. But we must have true repentance. Timothy chapter 2, verse 19 says, concerning the foundation, nevertheless, the foundation standeth sure. Amen. It says, the Lord knoweth those that are his. The foundation standeth sure, and God knows those that are his. And then in Matthew, it says in Matthew, I believe it's the sixth chapter, the seventh chapter, it says, in that day, men are going to say, Lord, Lord, didn't I cast out demon in your name? Didn't I heal in your name? And the Lord's going to tell them, he said, depart from me, I never knew you. Why? Because your work is of iniquity, ungodliness, or unrighteousness. So for that iniquity means. So he's going to say, he depart from me. So it says, the Lord knows those that are what? Here. So let everyone that knows him to what? Depart. Let everyone that names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Why? If you're in iniquity, if you're in a sinful situation, if you're in a canonic situation, God says, I don't know you. Well, how can we know the Lord? We must have true repentance. Amen. So we're going to deal with the foundation of repentance. Amen. And I'm not going to use everything I gave you, Sakila, because I got to cut it kind of brief. I'm going to highlight a lot. Amen. So tonight, once again, can you tell a partial truth and have true repentance? Can you have partial confession and have true repentance? Amen. And that's what we're going to bring out tonight. So let us start off in 1 Timothy chapter 5. 1 Timothy chapter, actually no, go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. I want to bring out something that we went over on Sunday. We don't get a chance to get into the scripture. We don't get a chance to get deep into the scripture to understand what God is doing. So we're going to start off in Acts 2 Timothy chapter 2, and let us go to verse 22 first. Chapter 2, verse 22. Amen. All of us know about the foundation of God standing sure in the great house as our own vessel of gold and silver, wood and earth, some honor, and some to dishonor. He said, but if a man were therefore
purged,
it's a cleansing. Amen. And we're going to read later, how do we cleanse ourselves? If a man would therefore purge himself, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, which means God has set you apart, and meet for the master's use, and what? Prepare unto every, that's the church. We don't get prepared unto bad works, we get prepared unto good works. So verse 22 reads, flee also youthful lusts, but follow after righteousness is what we do in the sight of God. Amen. Righteousness, faith, charity, peace. with them that call on the Lord our way, true confession. Amen. Not partial confession. Pure means there's nothing hidden. There's no private agendas. And we're going to read a little later scripture of how God looks at those that are not truthful. Verse 23. But actually skip down to verse 24. And the servant of the Lord must not strive. Amen. This was what Paul was telling Timothy at this time of writing to Timothy, who was over the church. He said, the servant of the Lord must not strive. In other words, don't get caught up arguing and debating trivial matters. Mm-hmm. Today the church is so off track because everyone is caught up on the trivial matters. And we're not dealing with sin and salvation and being right in the eyes of God. We're finding out if you should wear this or should you dress this. What about the heart? Amen. Why so with the heart man believeth unto salvation? With the heart man believeth unto salvation. So all the trivial matters are not important. Amen. One of the scriptures that we did go over on Sunday was Luke chapter 18. It talks about having hid those that heard the word. And the word of God was choked. What caused the word of God to be choked? The cares of this world. That cares mean distractions. Amen. Trivial matters are distractions. Because they take your eyes off of the primary, who's God, and we should always be looking unto Jesus. So he said the cares of this world, the pleasures of life, choke the word of God, and we come not to perfection. That perfection means spiritual maturity. Amen. What chokes the word of God? Trivial things, insignificant things. And that's why the Lord himself said, if any man love father, mother, sister, brother, husband, or anything above me, he said, you're not
worthy
of me. So the trivial matters, the cares of this world, the cares of this life, they will choke the word of God. Amen. Instead of you believing God, you doubt God. Well, what does it all start with? It starts off with a repentant heart. So he says, and the servant of the Lord must not strive. We're not concerned about trivial matters. Well, you should have crossed your hair this way, this. You know, there is a standard in the church, but little things are not important if the heart is not right. Amen. But be gentle to to teach and
patient.
You know, when you read this word patient, we probably have a lot of different thoughts of what patient means. What it really means is dealing with the whole attitude of the truth and repentance. So it said, Timothy, as a servant of God, he said, you can't get weary in correcting wrong. That's what that means. He said, you need to forbear in wrong. You got to be long-suffering and teaching and instructing the people how to do right thing. He says, be patient. Don't get weary in doing the right thing. Verse 25 says, in meekness, instructing those that what? In meekness. We're still dealing with the whole attitude of truth and repentance. Amen? In meekness, instructing those who what? God knows, and even in the church, sometimes we get in a position where men oppose themselves in all actuality. If you read the rest of them, say, if God were gentle, would give them repentance and acknowledging of the truth. So those that oppose themselves means they're in opposition to God. Amen? That opposition, that opposing means you're fighting God, and I like what the Lord told the sixth chapter of Genesis. He said, my spirit will not always. God's not going to always deal with that opposition. Amen. He said, my spirit will not always strive with man. Amen. So opposition, opposing. When you oppose yourself in the truth, you're opposing God. He said, peradventure, God will give them repentance, not partial repentance, as some people believe. believe. But true repentance, well, how do you get true repentance? By what? Acknowledging the truth. Amen? Well, when you don't have true repentance, and when you don't acknowledge the truth, some people say, well, I keep trying to get over this hump. I keep trying to get over this hill. I keep trying to get over these barriers. But every time I turn around, the barrier is back again. You have not fully repented. You have not fully come to the acknowledge. To acknowledge means to make an expression. Amen? To confess the truth. He says, that they may recover themselves out of the what? It's a trap. It's a setup to make you fall. So when you don't fully repent, when you don't acknowledge the what? Truth. You get yourself in a well. It's a snare. It's a trap. It's in a snare. But who has the snare? Who has the trap? If it was God, we'd be all right. But it's a snare of the who? Devil. Who has taken them captive at his when you oppose God and the truth, you have no foundation. You have no defense. So the devil will take you captive at his will. Amen. So once again, we want to have what kind of repentance? True repentance. I like King David when he was in the wrong place. It's important that we meet with those that call on God out of a pure heart, as we read earlier. David was supposed to be out in the battle fighting with the rest of Israel. But David decided to stay back. And as a result of staying back, David fell into sin with Bathsheba. Then David tried to cover the sin. With God, there is no hiding place. So then David tried to cover the sin. And then trying to cover his sin, he had the wife, the husband of Bathsheba, who was Uriah, killed. He actually had him murdered. And some time went by, and David thought he had gotten away. But then Nathan the prophet gave him a parable, and David said, the man that has done this thing shall surely die. Nathan said, David, thou art the man. You know what David said to Nathan? You know, a lot of people say, well, you don't have to confess, you just got to tell God. But David told Nathan, he said, I have sinned. And God said, well, David, because you have told the truth, you didn't try to cover it up. You didn't try to blame it on anybody else. He said, you will not die. Amen. So a lot of times we get some things a little mixed up. True confession is acknowledging God. When Samuel went to Saul after he had disobeyed God. Amen? When Samuel went to Saul after he had disobeyed God, and Samuel let Saul know, well, God has taken the kingdom away from you. And then the scripture lets us know the Spirit of the Lord did what? Departed from Saul. But because Saul did not have full repentance, Saul said, I've sinned, but this was not true repentance. Amen. Saul began to try to blame his situation on the people and everybody else. And God said, you know, God has no pleasure or delight, amen, in you disobeying the voice of the Lord. He says, to hearken to God is better than sacrifice. Amen. So Saul said, I sinned to Samuel, but that was not true repentance. So as a result that he didn't have true repentance, the Bible said, the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil, he was being in the snare of the devil. Why? He did not truly and fully repent. Amen. So then within the mind, let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 5. So there's no such thing in God as partial repentance. We must have true repentance. And true repentance must come from the heart. There are times, not in here, but you know, a lot of those other people in other churches and other situations, they blame their shortcoming on God on somebody else, just like Saul. And when they're confronted with the issue, they say, well, it was brother or my this or my that or my the other. You got to remember, there no God, we there's no hiding place. God sees and God knows all. Chapter 5, verse 21. All right, I'll read. 21 reads. Then she can catch up. Okay. It says, I charge thee before men. I charge thee before your wife. I charge you before your husband. I charge you before the boss. I charge you before everybody else. No, he said, I charge you before. And tonight, if we can open our ears to hear, our righteousness is not of man. Our righteousness comes through God. He said, I charge you before God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the elect angel that without, that thou observe these things without preferring one before another. He said, do nothing. It means preference, but it means everything. Do what? Nothing. By partiality. Partial repentance, partial truth is before God. So Paul makes it plain to Timothy, he said, I charge you before God. Tonight I charge the church before God. Do things without partiality. Amen. Part of partiality is we blame all our circumstances on somebody else. Well, how can this be true when the scripture says, when a man weighs,
the word,
the answer is please the Lord, all right? I want y'all to help me with this one, okay? When a man weighs,
the Lord,
he maketh. Stop. It doesn't mean he allows it. It's not something that happened by chance. When our ways please the Lord, he maketh your enemies be at peace. If we don't have peace, it's not God. If we don't have peace, it's not the hand that they are the other. The issue is we're not pleasing God. Amen? So when our ways please God, he maketh our enemies be at peace with him. So he said, whatsoever, whatever you do, Timothy, the reason he told him to flee youthful lust is because Timothy was a young pastor. Amen. And he wanted Timothy to understand fully, do all things without partiality. Amen. If you're going to serve me all the way. If you're going to pray, pray all the way. If you're going to praise me all the way. Don't give me that half-hearted praise. Don't give me that half-hearted worship because that's partiality. God said, do it all without partiality. But what we're going to focus on once again is repentance. All right, so can a man both turn away from wrong or sin and at the same time live in sin or wrong and be pleasing to God? Can we turn from sin and wrong and then at the same time live in sin and wrong and be pleasing to God? Because that would be what? Partiality. Amen. And God says, do all things without partiality. Amen. With that in mind, let's go to, actually, I'm just going to quote this. We're not going to go to this. Matthew 6:24. It says, no man can serve
two masters.
Because either he'll hold to one and despise the other. And he said, we cannot serve God and man. It's dealing with riches or money, but it also deals with we cannot serve God and the devil. Because either you hate one or choose the other. All right, so now with that in mind, let's go to, I'm going to skip that one for the sake of time because we don't have enough time. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 7. Tonight, we're dealing with being true and honest before God. And to be true and honest before God is true repentance. Amen. Paul says to the church, we should not have to lay again the foundation of what? Repentance. And faith to towards God. So, 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 1. He said, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us purge. We read in Timothy, he said, what? Purge ourselves, so we might be a vessel of God. Now he tells the Corinthian church, let us cleanse ourselves from all what? Filthiness of the flesh and
spirit.
Oh, spirit. Isn't that something striking? Your flesh is defiled. But when your flesh is defiled, so is your spirit. So he said, it's time to cleanse ourselves. Amen. From filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness. How? In the fear of God. Partiality, amen, is defiled. It's not being clean. It's not a fear and a reverence for God. Let's get down to verse 8 of the same chapter, verse 8. For though I made you sorry with a letter, do I repent? I do not repent. Okay. Good job. Though I did repent. In other words, it said, though I made you sorry, this is dealing with the situation of sin with a man having been with his own mother or stepmother. He said, though I made you sorry, he said, I do not regret it. That's what repent means. Though I regret, did repent. For I perceive that the same epistle which made you sorry, though it were but for a season, now I rejoice that now ye were made sorry, but that ye sorrow to repentance. For you were made sorry after a godly manner. Amen. So in repentance, he said, I made you sorry. Because they were actually not correct in that situation. So Paul said, I don't regret that I made you sorry, because it was unto what kind of sorrow? Godly sorrow, that you might receive damage by us in nothing. Verse 10, for godly sorrow worketh repentance. Amen? What kind of sorrow? Godly sorrow worketh repentance, not to be repented of. But the sorrow of the world worketh. This sorrow means I got caught. They know. The sorrow of the world means I'm caught out there. So I'm not gonna have godly sorrow, I'm just gonna say, you know what, I was wrong. Amen? So that sorrow worketh what? Death. But godly sorrow is up in salvation. Verse 11, and then we go to another one. For behold, this same thing that ye sorrow after a what kind of sorrow? Tonight we're dealing with what kind of repentance? True repentance, not partial repentance. True repentance is out there. What kind of sorrow? Godly sorrow. Amen. So for carefulness is wrought in you, yea. This is what true repentance does. What carefulness is wrought in you, what?
Clearing
of yourself. When you truly repent, amen, it's clear. It's all right between you and the Savior. All right, so all the rest of that really deals with what type of attitude we should have in godly sorrow, after a godly sorrow. It says, when you do it godly, you clear yourselves. Now, when you don't do it godly, go to 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 24. When you don't do it godly, after a godly sorrow, you're not clear. Amen. To be clear means your account has been settled. Amen. God does not hold this charge to your account because you're clear, because you did it after a godly sorrow. Amen. Amen. 5:24 says, some men sins are open beforehand going up to judgment. They have cleared themselves. Amen. They did it how? After a godly sorrow. Well, how did you do it after a godly sorrow? I told everything. I didn't hold back anything. I just plain said I'm wrong. Amen. He said, and some men If we don't clear our account, if we don't clear ourselves, as we just read, then our sins will follow us up. If our sins follow us up and we have not cleared ourselves, then the wages of sin is death. So it's important that we clear ourselves. Amen. Now let's go to Psalms 32. Psalms 32. And we're going to deal with this whole psalm. I've always read it in part. I don't know if y'all, anybody has really studied the whole thing, but I try to just do part of it. But I'm going to read two different, I'm going to read through it first, King James, and we don't want to do this. But then I'm going to read it, the New Living Testament, and then to give you a better understanding. This is David. Now, once again, we're dealing with what? True repentance. Amen. The only one knows if any of us are truly repentant is who? God. The only one that sees and knows everything is God. The only one that knows if I told 99.999% of the truth, but I kept at the little pit. You know, isn't that a shame that you can tell all of that and leave out a little bit that's not true repentance? Because true repentance is what kind of a heart? Pure heart. Pure heart means when God looks and judges us, there's nothing separating between us and the Savior. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven and whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not. Your record is clear. There's no sin, there's no unrighteousness. And whose spirit there is. Well, true repentance, go back to a second to that. True repentance is when I from of not being truthful. Amen? So true repentance is there is no God. Amen? So when I did not try to deceive God in trying to be honest, because God already knows. Okay, we're going to come back to this. Go to 1 John chapter 1 real fast. We'll come back to this. Blessed is the man whose sin, whose transgressions are forgiven, and whose sin is covered. Amen. And then he goes on to say, blessed is the man whom God does not keep that record of your wrong. And the only way God keeps our record of wrong is when we do not confess our sin. Verse 9. He said, if we what?
Confess our sin.
He is what?
Faithful.
And to cleanse us from all. But we have to what? If we confess part of the sin, will God forgive us? If we confess most of it, will God forgive us? If we, this is the difference between godly sorrow and the sorrow of the world are being caught. Well, you know, who likes to look bad? Anybody like to look bad? Nobody likes to look bad, right? So now, you know, or maybe somebody know, I feel condemned, so, you know, I gotta get this off my shoulder. Amen? So, the world sorrow said, you know what, let me just get this off my chest. Well, what did you do? Well, I stole $100, and I bought this, and I bought that, and I bought the other. That's enough, you don't need no more. But there were some other little hidden things that was going to make you look bad. So I can't tell that. Because if I tell that, somebody might not think the best of me. That is not true repentance. Amen. In repenting and dealing with us, we don't have to know every detail of the sin. But if your heart, you know that you have covered it up, that you have not cleared yourself. Amen? The Bible says you have a name that you live it, but you're dead. That's why he said, that's why he called them to do what? Repent. Well, what's the name that you live it and dead? It means awake thou that sleepeth. Amen? So it's time as a church to do the right thing. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Well, we can only do the right thing after what kind of sort? A godly real fast. Go back to Psalm 32. We're going to read the whole thing real fast. Go back to verse 1. We're going to read the whole thing. It says, if we confess our sin, who is faithful? Well, some people, that, you know, there's been a debate. I read about it all the time. People say, well, you don't have to confess. You don't really have to confess. Some people say, well, that's a Catholic thing. Well, I wonder who did David confess to? David confessed to God? Did Saul confess to God? If you read the great men of God that confessed, even when Simon the sorcerer tried to buy the Holy Ghost, when he said, I have sinned, he said to who? The apostles. There's a debate in all Christendom today that we don't have to practice Catholicism. Well, you don't have to confess to man. I wasn't supposed to go this way, but I'm going to go anyway, so you know what? Because this is what God's giving me. You don't confess to man, but you confess to God before man, and they will convict and condemn you not to repeat the action. Because, oh, I confess to God. How do you know I'm confessing something you already know? Think about it, right? Come on, I'm trying to figure out. These guys are debating. You got to confess to God. How do you confess to God something he already knows? Mm-hmm. Amen? Go to Hosea chapter 7 first. All right? Go to Hosea chapter 7. So he said, well, I can just confess to God. You can't confess to God something he already knows. Amen. So God has guarded. Hosea 7 verse 1 said, this is what God says. He said, when I would have healed Israel, then the iniquity, the ungodliness, the unrighteousness, the wrong of Ephraim was unveiled. Now, did God already know it? Yes. Amen. God already knew it. He said, God said, now, he's trying to keep him to see that. You thought I didn't know. He said, you thought you wanted to bring on a blessing. Do you know what I'm about to get? He said, when I would have healed them. Iniquity was discovered, and the wickedness of Samaria, for they weren't truthful. They weren't honest. They dealt fraudulently. They committed falsehood, and the thief cometh in, and the trooper robbers forth without, and they considered not. Now this is God dealing with him. He said they considered not in their heart that I remember. He said, already remember it. He didn't have to say it. He said, I remember it. Now you want to break up a blessing. Now God was going to give you a breakthrough. But what happened was that stuff you had hid was uncovered. He said, all that wickedness. Now their doings have all that wrong has hedged you in. It's beset you. It's surrounded you. Amen. So you can't get out of it because you were dealt fraudulently and you tried to cover it. He said, they are. God said, I already saw it. All you have to do is just be honest. And tell the truth. He said, why don't you approach me in guile of fraudulently? You were not honest. Amen? Let's go back to Psalms 32. Say that. He said, blessed is he whose and whose. How do we cover sin? We read about it in 1 John, right? We have to what? Confess our sins and then God will cover it. Amen. Verse 2. Blessed is the man whom the Lord he does not keep a record. You've got it straight. Say, well, I forgot some stuff. I know, yeah, I've been saved for a long time, and I forgot some stuff. I was in church one day, and the Spirit of the Lord convicted me. I had to go back 20 years and get it right. Lord, I'm so glad you didn't call me before I got it right. I was in church and it hit me like a ton of bricks. Said, you never got this right. Amen. And you know when something's weighing on you, you got to get it off of you. 20 years later, thank God for his mercy. Amen. I can wait to get it right. Well, why gone, it does no good to try to do the right thing and try to leave stuff out, to be partial. Amen. To make myself look good, because God said it was before my face. Amen. God said, I already saw it. I already knew it. Next verse. When I kept silence, he's dealing with not confessing his sin. He said, when I just hid it, when I just did it, he said, my bones waxed old through my roaring.
All the day.
Every single day, I didn't get it right. It bothered me. He said, I couldn't get rid of it. My bones waxed old. For day and night, my hand was
heavy.
God was trying to turn him. But he kept silent. Now, let me ask you a question. If you keep silent, God already knows our heart and our thoughts, right? Mm-hmm. So why silence signifies what? Speaking out, right? Amen? God already knows. He said, you kept silent. So he said, you don't have to confess it. Well, just say, God knows. I just said, God forgive me. Well, you kept silent. He said, because you kept silent, my hand was. You know, that's what I like about God's word. You don't have to debate. As he said, don't give strife and trivial things. Just let it speak. He said, day and night I hand with heaven upon me. My marshes turned into the drought of summer. Pause and think about that. Say Selah. Next verse. I acknowledge my sin. In order to get out of the snare of the devil and have true repentance, we must come to the acknowledging of the truth and sin. And my iniquity have I not? He said, for a little while I thought I could hide it. He said, I will confess my transgression unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my. Think about that. When I confessed it to the Lord, he forgave me. Verse 6, for this shall everyone that is godly, what kind of sorrow? Godly sorrows or what kind of sorrow? Godly sorrow. So everyone that is godly and want to be right, we are praying unto thee in a time. In other words, he said, God, I'm not going to put off for tomorrow what I need to do today. Isaiah said, call on the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake. Amen. So he said, in time when I may be found, surely in the flood of great waters, they shall not come down to him. Thou art my hiding place, and thou shalt preserve me from trouble. This is after what? He's confessed. This is after he does not have any charges on his account. Thou shalt encompass me about with songs of deliverance. Say why. Verse 8. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. This is God dealing with him. Be not as, he said, now this is what God wants for his people. The Bible talks about brutish. Do you know what the scripture means when it says be brutish? It means to act like a beast that cannot reason nor think. Amen. So he said, be not as the horse or as the mule, which have about what? Confession, sin, and iniquity, and transgression, and being right, whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. Many sorrows shall be to those who do not confess. Many sorrows shall be to those who do not get it right. But he that trusts in the Lord, mercy shall. Well, how did he get the mercy? Verse 11. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice ye. You're in right standing with God. And shout for joy all ye that are
upright.
Well, how does your heart be upright? You clear yourself of guilt. I'm going to read the New Living Testament version of it. It says, oh, what joy for those. You can't get it right. Okay. Oh, what joy for those whose disobedience is forgiven, whose sin. Lies are filled of guilt, and they live in what kind of honesty? Complete honesty. When I refuse to confess my sin, my body wastes away and I groan all day long. Day and night, your hands of discipline was heavy on me. My strength evaporated like water in the summer heat. Why? I would not confess. He said, finally I confess all my sins to you and stop trying to hide my guilt. Finally, I confess all my sins to you and stop trying to hide my guilt. I said to myself, I will confess my rebellion to the Lord, and you forgave me. All my guilt is gone. Therefore, let all the godly pray to you while there is still time, because God's Spirit will not always strive with man. Amen. The devil knows as long as he can get us to go opposite of God, we're in his trap. And being in his trap, he's the puppeteer and we are the puppet. He manipulates and controls our every move. Why? Because we're in that snare. We're in that trap. He has taken us captive at his will because we did not have the acknowledgement of the truth to true repentance. Amen? He said, and you forgave me, all my guilt is gone. Therefore, let all the godly pray to you while there is still time, that they may not drown in the flood waters of judgment. For you are my hiding place. You protect me from trouble. You surround me with songs of victory. The Lord says, I will guide you along the best pathways for your life when you do it right. I will guide you along the best pathway for your life. I will advise you and watch over you. Do not be like a senseless horse or mule that needs a bit and bridle to keep it under control. Many sorrows come to the wicked, but unfailing love surrounds those who trust in the Lord. He says, so rejoice in the Lord and be glad. All you who obey him shout for joy, all you whose heart is pure. That's another version of Psalm 32. All those whose heart is pure. Amen. So we're dealing once again with what kind of repentance? True repentance. Amen. Being right in our hearts in the sight of who? God. Amen. Let's go to Luke chapter 15. We're dealing once again with true repentance and being right in the eyes of God. Luke chapter 15. I'm really on time. I got 10 minutes.
Amen.
I'm going to stay on time. So everybody come out on Fridays. Amen. All right, Luke chapter 15. We're dealing once again with true repentance and not hiding anything. But this is about the prodigal son. Amen. Now, there was some errors the prodigal son made because he went to the father. He said, give me my inheritance. Well, when did you use it in the inheritance?
When he died.
When they what?
Father died.
Right? So he's already wrong. You're not supposed to give it to the dead. Why are you rushing to the father and say, okay, I'm not going to fight with you. I'm going to give this to you. Because obviously you're not going to listen to me, so there's some things you're going to have to learn the hard way. So the father gives him the inheritance, and he goes and wastes it on riotous, which means he can live wild. He wasted it to the point that he had to join himself to a citizen of the country because he failed and came. Now, Jews do not feed or associate with swines. All right, if you read all about it through Leviticus, swine and the Jewish faith, or Jewish people, stayed away from swines. He got so bad that he said he had to take care of swines, and on top of taking care of swine, he had to eat the food that the swine ate. Amen. So he got to the point, let's go down to verse 18. That saved us a little bit of reading. Amen. He says, After he got down to the lowest point, and sometimes God will let us get down so low, trying to destroy us, no, trying to get us to come to true or full repentance. He said, I will arise and go to my... Now pay particular attention to this, all right? This father is what they want. Small f, amen? And I will say unto him,
Father,
I am. See, he goes to his father, but his confession to his father is before God, who is a father. Amen? So he says, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. Well, couldn't he have just told God? No. That's why the writer is important when you read the scripture, pay attention, a particular attention, even though there are some misprints, when spirit should be capital and father, him, and his should be capital. But here, Luke, who's a physician, makes it so clear. He says, I will go to my earthly father, but my confession will be to my... Can I say that again? He said, I'm going to go to my earthly father, but my confession is to my... But who am I talking to?
Earthly father.
I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him,
Father.
Well, who is he speaking to?
God.
Amen. He's making his confession before. Capital F is not a mistake. Luke knew what he was writing. He said, Father, I have. He didn't try to cover it up. He didn't try to use any kind of deception or trickery. He just made it plain and clear. He said, I've sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Hey, skip down, keep on this. Just actually, I'll go there another time. That's good enough for that one. Amen. So, once again, we're dealing with what? True confession and being right before God. Amen. I think I might stop there. No, let's go to Romans chapter 6. Remember, we cannot serve how many masters? So, when we are pure and true to God, we have one master. When we try to cover and hide stuff and God already knows, we have two masters. Because we're pleasing two different people. To please God, I must be true and simple. When I try to cover and hide and hide, I'm no longer pleasing God. Verse 11 of chapter 6. Likewise, reckon ye also yourself to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God. How? Through Jesus. I'm saying, how can you be alive unto God if you don't go through Jesus? Amen. You can only be alive through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore... Well, who reigns? King, right? He said, don't let sin be the king or dominate your body. Let not sin reign in your mortal body, that ye should in the lust thereof. Neither yield yourselves members as instruments unto, because when you're unrighteous, it is sin. When you're not truthful. Right? Listen, we can all rewrite the book, but there's only one way to be righteous. It is the foundation that God has set. We can only be righteous when we're right in the sight of eyes of God. Well, I tipped and dipped and did all this. God saw you. You lost your righteousness. I engaged in ungodly talk. God saw you. You lost your righteousness. Amen. Anytime we partake in something that is ungodly or unrighteous, amen, and we do it intentionally, we lose our true righteousness. gonna answer man of what?
Unrighteousness.
And he keeps going on even twice. Keep going. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Just because God's grace is sufficient? Amen. Say, well, I don't have to worry about God. Let me to the throne of grace. Yeah. But that don't mean God does not give you a permission or a right to sin. I read one minister said this. He said, sin ceases where holiness begins. Sin ceases where holiness begins. Well, holiness is the purest form of living. Amen? So shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? What does he say? God. Hey, that's a, can you make that bigger? I'll make it bigger because y'all can't see that. It's, shall we continue in sin because we're not under the law but under grace? God, what? Forbid. Verse 16. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are, to whom you obey. So whoever you yield your servants to, your bodies to obey, you are his servant. Whether of sin unto death, or obedience unto righteousness. Amen. I think that's enough on that one. Let me see. I don't even know what the verse was at. Just remember, I know you study. I was going to say. Go to the next verse. No. Now we're going to go to Isaiah chapter 59. We'll conclude here. And if anybody wants to mess up, I give you my notes. You can read them on your own time. Amen? Isaiah chapter 59. At this stage of our lives, it's important to be right in the eyes of who? God. Not man, but God. Can you have true repentance by approaching God deceitfully or in partiality without acknowledging the complete truth? Can you have true repentance by approaching God through deceit or fraudulently or by not acknowledging the full truth? Verse 1 reads, behold, the Lord's hand is not short that he cannot save. This is what he said. Now God's arm is not short, and neither his ear heavy that he cannot. God can save and God can hear. But you have not gotten some things right. Amen. What is going on in my life? But we all know personally the things that we've covered here. The things that we thought we could get by with it. He said, well, God said, well, as we read in Hosea, he said, everything that you do is before my face. Everything that you say, he said, my ear is not too heavy that I cannot hear. Well, don't leave. If you don't get stuff right, get it what? All the way right. Johnny James said, halfway right is always wrong. Almost right, he said, is always wrong. Be all the way right. Your iniquities have what? Separated between who? Lord, I don't understand what's going on in my life. There's a separation. God must honor his word. Because the foundation of God stands sure. Your sins have hid that covering, because you did not get it right, has hid his face from you, that he will not hear. Verse 3. For your hands are defiled, and your fingers, and your lips, you're not truthful. You're not honest with your God. I don't care how you rewrite it, try to do it. He said, because you didn't get it right, you have what? Separated between you and God. His face is hid from you, and he won't even hear you. Because you haven't got it right. Well, I told, you know, you have eternal knives, but until you get that 100%, it's not the truth. Because partial truth, there's no such thing as partial repentance. There has to be true repentance. Therefore, your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with, your lips have spoken lies, your tongues has muttered perverses. Your tongues have other perverseness. All right, but read on your own time. Read Proverbs chapter 1. Actually, let me go through this real fast. All right, I'll do it in less than 5 minutes. Because we want to be pure before God. We want to be right. Amen? And we can't be right being wrong. You cannot serve two masters. You cannot serve right and wrong. Either we want to be right or we want to be wrong. Amen? We can't serve two masters. Proverbs chapter 1. The devil is an enticer. He tries to entice us to sin. Amen? Verse 10 read, my son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood. Let us burn privily for the innocent without cause. That's a sad thing in many churches. People are destroying some innocent people. Why? Wrong company. Watch the company. That's what Paul said. We worship with those that call out of God. What kind of heart? Pure heart. In church, you can have all kind of friends. And in church, we should have associates. As the bishop told me, if nothing wrong with being godly, he said, don't be intimate with sinners. He said, don't be intimate with sinners. And he raised his voice. He said, do you understand what I mean? I said, I understand, Bishop. Not our bishop. This is a prior bishop. Because you don't want to put yourself in compromising situations.
Right.
Amen. When you put a wedge between, you drive a wedge between you and God. God must honor his word. Amen. I don't care how much you jump preach, you jump do all that. God's word. We read it, if you read it up a little earlier in Timothy, it said, God cannot deny himself, and God will not deny his word. So verse 9 says, if they say, come, let us lay wait for the blood, let us appear for the innocent without cause, let us swallow up the lives of grave as well as those glad to repent. We shall keep on. It said, now this is what, go back, this is what sinners want you to do, or people that are wrong. Even unfortunately, sometimes there are people that are wrong in church. We preach in your name, we heal in your name. I shout, I jump and did it. God said, I never knew you because of the iniquity. You never got it right. So I don't recognize sin. God only recognizes purity. God only recognizes holiness. So as long as we're in error, God will not recognize it. So what they like to do is say, they like to proudly do stuff, say, we don't want to do it on the DL. He said, we can all do this together. That's what it means. You want to do the wrong thing, so you try and get somebody to go on your side. Amen? I want to say amen to the truth. Verse 15. My son, even in church, when they're trying to get you to side with wrong, when they're making you tear a brother or sister down and has done nothing wrong, my son said, don't associate with that. Don't get mixed up with that. He said, my son, walk not thou with in the way with them, refrain thy foot. Then my friend, well, you just bring some unnecessary trouble your way. If they're not right. Amen. Sin is sin.
Amen.
So God said, don't even walk in their path. Verse 16, for their feet run to evil and make haste to shed. This means innocent blood. Someone has done nothing wrong. It's like that from a person today. Why don't you go shoot some innocent children? Amen. That's a bad thing. Well, in church, we do the same thing to saints. They haven't done anything to you. What are you tearing them down? What are you running them down for? Just because you got some personal idiosyncrasies and some stuff in you? You don't have to tear somebody else down. I was talking to a minister recently. I said, if we got to build a agape up by tearing other churches down, then we need to close the doors. Because that's not God. If you got to build yourself up by tearing somebody else down, you need to close your doors. For their feet run ye, surely in vain is death spared in the sight of any bird. I'm going to speed up. They lay wait for their own blood. They learn privily for their own lives. Why is my life such a mess? You've been in your own stuff. Get out of it. Your life will clear up. Next verse. So are the ways of everyone who is greedy of gain, which taketh away the life of the owners thereof. Wisdom crieth out, she earth and wars in the street. Skip that verse. Skip the next one. How long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity and scorners delight in their scorning and fools? Fools mean they don't have knowledge. You know, the Bible said the fool is him in his heart. What? Well, he said, when you act like a fool, you act like God doesn't see you. That's what that means. When we act like a fool, we act like God doesn't see us because the fool has said there is no God. So he's dealing with who in the church? Keep going. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. Because I have called, this is what God said, and this is why I wanted to read this. There are many times God calls. Amen. Many times we hear God's voice. He said, because I have called, ye have. He said, I stretched out my hand and no man regarded. This is what he said. Now, God said, I've been trying to help you. I've been reaching. I've been calling. I've been pulling. I've been tugging. He said, because, next verse. But he said, you have said it, no. God said, oh, I've done to reach you. I've tried to help you. I've tried to put you on the right path. He said, but you wouldn't accept my counsel. You wouldn't accept. Reproof is correction. Amen. Correction only comes when we are wrong. He said, but you wouldn't my reproof, you wouldn't accept my correction. This is what he says now. I also, God said, I've been trying to reach you. I've been trying to get you on the right path. I've been trying to get you to stop doing you and to do righteousness. I've been trying to get you to stop doing the things that you had thought was right. God said, I've been watching you. Hosea said, everything before you was before my face.
Yes.
God saw. God's been reaching. God's been teaching. God's been trying to train. He said, I've been counseling you. I've been calling you. I've been trying to get you on the right path. He said, I will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation and your destruction comes as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you.
Jesus.
What's the reason? You have not repented. You haven't got it right. Because I've been pulling, I've been tugging, I've been wrestling with you. I've been trying to get you to do the right thing. Before who? Not before us. It's not important wholeheartedly to be right before me. You do have to be right before leadership. But you have to be right before God. Because he sees us when nobody else sees us. There's no hiding place. Anguish cometh upon you. Then shall they call upon me. God said, I've been reaching and calling to you all this time. I've been trying to help you. He said, now you're going to think because the bottom has fallen out and you're in the worst deplorable situation ever. Not in here, but I'm talking about those other people. He said, now you're going to call on me and I will. God said, my spirit will not always surround me. They shall seek me early. God said, now I've been trying to get to you. Now that you don't have any other alternative, now you're coming to me. God said, I've been trying to counsel you. I've been trying to lead you. I've been trying to direct you. He said, now I'm going to not hear and I'm not going to see. Verse 29, this is one. He said, for them they what? And did not. True repentance is to fear God. They would love my counsel and they despised all of my correction. God said, every time I tried to get them on the right track, they despised what I was doing. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit. God said, you know, I've been trying to help you. I've been trying to direct you according to my script, to the word of God, to according to what's right. He said, but you refused everything. You wouldn't accept counsel. He said, not my reproof, when you were wrong, I tried to correct you. He said, you've got to the point, he said, you bring in calamity and problems on yourself, now you cry. God said, I will not hear. Now you cry, he said, I will not answer. Why? Because you have set at naught all of my counsel and my reproof. What was wrong? And Lord our God, hallelujah. I'm not God, but we need to know he's God. He said, well, the problem with those that are full of self is if they're going to eat the fruit of their all way, and they're going to be filled with all their own. That device would mean all that scheming and planning and denying. God said, I'm going to fill you back with what you've given me. As we stand, true confession is acknowledging the truth. Amen. As we read in Timothy, he said, when you have true confession, then you can recover. To recover, I mean, you have what? Lost something. Amen. That you have, you're not in a place of God where you should be. So to have true repentance, you must, I'm going to read it again. Can you go to 2 Timothy chapter 2? And let's go to verse 25. True repentance, amen, is not before me. It's not before man. God, right now, God knows what the very thoughts of our hearts and minds. For God has no higher place. He says, verse 25, in meekness instructing those that the reason that we come to church is so we can get instruction to stop fighting against God. If God peradventure will give them, the only way that you will stop opposing yourself is we must repent to the acknowledging of the truth. Verse 26, how, and that they may what? Out of the snare of the devil. We can only recover out of the snare of the devil by acknowledging the truth and having true repentance.